Hello and welcome back to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and development, well, everything to do with children. Danielle Ochieng still remains as my name, and I'm an enthusiast about all things children, and that is why I do what I do. So I hope you've been well. I hope you're coping well with COVID, and despite COVID, there's also been other issues pre-COVID, so whatever it is, and if you're not, please find somebody to talk to, because believe you me, there are people who care. Find somebody to share it with, okay? So we are going to go into today's topic, and I'm guessing or assuming that you can tell where I'm going to go with it based on the topic or what you've seen, right? The road and the child. But before I do that, I'd like to play us a small audio.
Sometimes getting slapped for absolutely nothing, you know. Did you ulikuja ukachukua hii sukari kutoka jikoni? Pap. You're like, no, sio mimi. Sometimes it's not you. We used to get beaten up for a lot more than we deserved, and with no explanation, you know, discipline in love. But I guess back then we used to be disciplined to be disciplined. You know, if you know what I mean.
Well, so basically, that came from a dear friend of mine, and this is reflections as an adult, you know, looking back as to how it was being a child growing up in a typical African society. And as I was researching, I actually realized it's not just in Africa, you know, but I think it was mainly here, and also because maybe abroad got laws on spanking very quickly. So yeah, so anyway, today's topic is particularly interesting if you come from a background where the road was like daily bread. And like, based on what my friend said, I think a lot of us can relate to growing up in such a household where you were beaten, not necessarily because it was a big deal. I sometimes think our parents needed to heal. You know, that's been my baby sister's term of the year, heal, you know. So there's a lot of reacting in anger and not thinking through or not hearing your side of the story. And it was, as he said. Anyway, before I go on, an episode is not complete, is not started without a did you know fact. So drum rolls. Time for another did you know fact. So did you know that centuries ago there was a term called the whipping boy, like whip, like whoop, yes, like beat. So whipping boy was an actual term, and it was a title that was used so in the royal family, if a young royal would misbehave, it was considered an insult to the monarchy to physically punish them. So instead of physically punishing the child, a friend of the young royal was chosen to receive all of the physical punishment. So yes, if your child happened to be the best friend or one of the closest friends of one of the monarchy's children, and they decided there's some misbehavior going on, your child will most likely get the whooping for him. Crazy, but it is a fact. I'd like you to take a guess on whether you think, as Danielle, I am for or against the road. Well, okay, I'll just do my usual talking. You know, the research, personal opinion, and you can gauge from there. So from the audio I played earlier, can you relate to it, either as a victim or the perpetrator? Why I say that is because, yes, some of us have fallen victims of that kind of thing, and some of us have actually been the ones who are doing that to children, right, or teens. So from a religious background, there's a verse that is commonly used. One is Proverbs 22:6, and it says, train up a child in the way you go. And we also commonly say, spare the rod and spoil the child. That is actually where this topic was motivated from. So when we were growing up, we were actually given additional verses, you know, leave alone the common Proverbs 22:6. I'm going to introduce you some new ones that were used on us so much when we're growing up. So Proverbs 23:14, and in quoting the KJV, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Maybe this is going to add to your quotes the next time you're deciding to go on a disciplining spree. But if you go a verse back, Proverbs 23:13, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Okay, so I decided to use the King James Version because it feels like it just gives that emphasis that it needs, you know, with all those thous and shalts and beatests and rods and all that kind of stuff. So when we were younger, our parents and church guardians, because all of us grew up in the church and were very grateful for everybody who brought us up and used the rod when it was necessary. Didn't understand it then, but well, now we are grateful. Though, like, based on the audio, a lot of us can realize some of it was just not necessary. Talking was what should be done, because or understanding the child's perspective, and we're going to go on to that. So I was graduated, actually. Those new verses, and before they would beat us or in between the beating, because a lot of us grew up a lot in church programs, they'll be like, I'm saving you from hell. And even the Bible says you will not die. So, and whoop, you're whooped. So many years later, I'm clearly still alive, and so are my age mates from church. But we do know of cases where children have been beaten to death or seriously harmed, whether it's by parents, teachers, or other guardians in the name of discipline. But why and how does that happen? Well, discipline, whether it's through beating or otherwise, I believe the aim or why we do it is to correct unacceptable behavior. Yet, I don't know if that's the message that usually gets across when we beat kids. I feel like a lot of times it felt like hate. A part of the times when we were explained for before, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Not that you wanted to be beaten, but it makes sense. But the times where you're just whooped and it just breeded resentment. So, well, when the discipline is supposed to teach and correct behavior, I will always insist that children should always be told the why behind it. That I will not let go of saying, and I think I've been saying from the first episode that I ever did, give them the why. But what really, really mostly happens when we decide to beat, it's out of our anger. It's rage that's controlling us. That's why many cases end up in physical abuse and wounds. But if you really are, I quote, saving their soul from hell, then be like Jesus and explain things in a way they will be understood. That's how Jesus always did. He would give examples and you get my point, right? So, I mean, tell them what they did wrong and why it has to be punished. Then both of you explore how they can behave better. Then it will be easier for them to correct and avoid unacceptable behavior as much as they can. I keep saying when children know better, they will do better, unless we enable the not better part. So the thing about it being done in anger is that it only results in resentment. So kids, teenagers just grow up to be very resentful, and we'll actually see the impacts of that a bit later in this episode. And it also tends to build a distance between you and your child in every aspect. And sometimes it results in them repeating the same behavior or worse, only to spite you. You've seen that before. You beat them for this, they do it again, they do it again, and they look at you when they're doing it. I think that should be enough evidence that maybe the message is not getting across and I should change strategies. So there's a longitudinal study that was done over a period of 50 years, right? And it was involving more than 160,000 children. And it was reported, what they concluded was that spanking increases the rates of childhood defiance and mental health issues. In fact, caning as a form of punishment was banned in Kenya in 2001 after the Children's Act took effect in a Gazette notice date March 13th, 2001, which was done by the then Education Minister Kalonzo Musyoka. Actually, honestly, just added his name because I was pretty shocked to learn that he was once an education minister, so I thought I'd just put it out there. Anyway, so that obviously never stopped the act in school, and with many fatalities as a result. So some were against it and some are for it, citing it helps to keep children disciplined and aid also in the discipline. And since it was banned, there's been reports that, oh, the children are becoming more rogue and indisciplined and disrespectful. Well, personally, I don't think lack of caning causes delinquency. But I do know in many places where it has been banned, teachers and parents have lacked discipline options that work as an alternative to the caning. So they feel like, now what do I just do? So they just let the kids go rogue. So I think there's a great need for, okay, if you stop doing this, what should be the alternative? Which maybe, actually not maybe, I should explore in the next episode. In fact, if you have used alternate discipline methods to beating, like even if it wasn't like 100% all the time you did not beat or cane, like maybe sometimes you use something and it's worked, please let me know by hitting my inbox, because I'll provide my email at the end of this show. And you could also leave a message, an audio message, if you're listening to it on Anchor, because at the bottom, it gives you the pleasure of leaving the audio message. You just press message and then it will give that option. And I will play it in the next episode. If you would not mind, just let me know. So there's a Kenyan psychiatrist, Silas Kirinya, who said that adolescents who are subjected to caning tend to turn rebellious. He actually continued to add that it subjects children to fear and is one of the leading causes of truancy and could lead to an increase in dropouts. Not only did it inflict pain and physical punishment, it also impacts learners' academic achievement and long-term well-being. And by the way, his research or his thoughts are fully backed up worldwide. There's actually papers on it. I came across them, so you could also check them out. So think of the impact of mental health, because we rarely care to hear the side of the story of the person we want to discipline. And a study by the Human Rights Watch in 2010 indicated that in countries where corporal punishment is frequently used, students actually performed way worse academically than those in schools that prohibited it. Maybe we need to look into alternates for sure. So now I want us to look at some more long-term effects of impulsive and excessive caning. Impulsive meaning like you don't really think about it, you just react in the moment. And one very key thing about growth, especially as a person, is learning to respond instead of react, because it also really does prevent a lot of regrets later, right? So some of the long-term effects is anxiety and depression. So anxiety just simply means an excess state of worry, and it's usually coupled with fear, a lot of fear. It's a side effect of excess caning, okay, because we're talking about caning, right? It could also be a side effect of excess shouting at children. So especially when you cane on trivial matters and the caning is done in the heat of the moment. This is because beating instills fear in the receiver to act how you want, but that is only a temporal solve, because according to a lot of research, you still find that behavior being repeated. Is it that they've not learned? Is it that really the caning is not working? So when a child constantly fears the cane, it breeds anxiety. They're constantly in fear. Why? Because they grow to fear doing anything to avoid getting caned or punished or shouted at or beaten, especially beaten. We all know that children mostly learn from their mistakes. That is how they explore and learn the world around them. Now, if they get caned for every mistake made, imagine what kind of adult they become. Very phobic, meaning scared. Scared to even take healthy risks to develop themselves, because the fear was instilled early in them. And they end up now fearing consequences of anything. So they will not take a risk. They will not decide to go for this job, because what if I decide not to try this project? What if? Because they're constantly now in fear. This anxiety also leads to social withdrawal, because they'll fear disappointing their friends or make any kind of mistakes with their friends. So they become socially withdrawn, and we know the negative impacts of being a loner. So caning your child may also teach your child that it's okay for them to react violently when angry. Why am I saying this? That your child or teenager does something, right? And your immediate reaction, I call it about reaction, difference between reaction and responding, your immediate reaction is to shout and to cane them. What do they learn? Oh, if somebody does something to me that I do not like and it annoys me, I can respond angrily and I can respond violently. Believe me, that's how the human mind works. If you don't believe it, you can check patterns of families where maybe their parents were violent, see how they behave now, how their grandparents were. It just trickles down. I'm hoping I'm making sense, actually, because I'm really trying to get us to understand that the road is not always the best option. In fact, I think it should be the last resort when you've tried everything. Because usually when you train up a child properly from the time they're infants growing up, it becomes easier for them to keep to rules that have been set when they were months old up to like 5, compared to when you're trying to start them to do them at 10 and 15 years old, which now will also avoid you from using the cane. Now, this thing of me talking about kids reacting violently, can you imagine what kind of relationships they will build? Either they become violent or victims of violence because they're like, okay, this person pissed me off and I can't react violently because that's what I saw. Or I pissed this person off and it's okay for them to hit me. It's okay for my partner to hit me or my spouse or my boss, you know, because I saw that growing up. Or they develop trust issues because the ones they love the most, which is their primary caregivers, which is us as a parents, hurt them. So growing up, it becomes very difficult to trust anybody else. So essentially, caning is usually preceded by shouting and name-calling, right? Which also portrays that it's okay to lose control of our emotions. And as they grow, as I said, they do the same with others. And usually, eventually, they'll do the same with you. They will shout at you, they'll scream at you. And God knows, we've heard of kids growing up to be adults or teenagers and beating their parents. Extreme case scenarios, but not unique. And the thing about always reaching for a cane in anger, like it's the first thing you're looking for, is what if one day you can't find that cane? You might end up picking anything to hit them with and really hurt your child in the process. This is not uncommon. We've had parents who threw anything that was around them that could fly and the energy could pick up. So my personal opinion from the Bible verses that I read is when the Bible says beat a child with a rod and he will not die from it, my interpretation personally is that I'm sure according to my standards, I will say that, is that God meant not die. He will not die holistically. So let's not kill our children mentally or emotionally, because this is just a short-term solution with long-term effects. But if for whatever reason you still feel the need for the cane, Kiboko, as it's called in Kiswahili, and it's a must-have for you, please, I am begging for the sake of the children, that use it when you are calm and objective and in control of your emotions, when you're conscious about what you're doing and you've talked to them about it. And not always easy, but with time it gets easier. So the child doesn't feel like, let's say it's Danielle, that I am the problem, but rather it's what I have done that daddy or mommy does not approve of. It is not me that they don't approve of. It's my behavior because you've explained it to them. And when it's all been said and done, they ultimately are your children. And the decision will always lay with you. And as I mentioned earlier, there are other alternatives to discipline which have been scientifically proved or researchly proved to be very effective, and also coupled with different parenting approaches that help minimize the occurrence of any undesired behavior. So if you've used any of them that have been working for you or have worked for you, maybe because you have grown children now, I would really, really love to hear from you. So please reach out to me on my email, babystepsbyd@gmail.com. So that's babystepsbyd. You can also respond to it with an audio message on the app that you are using. I would love to read or play them in the next episode to help other parents out there so that they can see that this works. So don't ignore this. Share your experiences or share this with somebody you know who has kids and has used alternate discipline methods. I would love to hear from them, play it on this episode, or if they would like to feature, they can also let me know. So if you also think caning is still a must-have, please let me know too. And your reasons behind it, I would like to also explore them because, well, it's not a let's do away with it, but it all fully depends on us and what we think is best for our children. So that's it for me. Meet you next week. Yes, because I am behind on schedule and very, very ashamed that I am that behind. Also, if you know someone or you would like to be on this podcast, please hit me up on the same email, babystepsbyd@gmail.com. Bye.